Alrighty. Okay, we'll go ahead and get started for tonight. We'll say a word of prayer first, and then we'll jump right into this lesson. Father Yah, we bless you as always, and we just thank you for just another opportunity to be in your presence. For we seek wisdom and understanding of your word on tonight. Just ask you to lead and guide us in all truth. And we praise you for all that you do in the name of Yehoshua. We do pray. Amen. All right, now, I'm going to start back. Just pick up where we kind of left off. We were dealing with the hereafter. So I'll go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 just to launch from there. And then we're not going to spend a lot of time there because, we can't be here for a minute if we do. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we'll just start at verse 18 this time. And then we'll continue to move from there, from verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 19 says, verse 18 says, "For I said in my heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that Yah might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts." Again, when we dealt with the sons of men, the focal point, when you look at mankind, period, mankind is no different from the animals as far as verse 19 is concerned. But at the same time, there is a separation from a perspective or a perception concerning the sons of men, because it not only points out that all mankind are like animals, and that whether you're righteous or unrighteous, we all die just like the animals. But it shows a state of mind concerning men. Just make sure, everyone, you're muting your phones and computers and things like that, so that we won't hear you guys. Now, what it points out is that, although the same thing happens to us, we clearly know that that someone whose mind is not led by the Spirit of Yah, then they're just like the beast. Because when you look at the beast, it means behemoth, or a animal from a perspective of dumb, having no intelligence. Okay, that's why you get a, I'm old country boy, you get a cow that will stand in the middle of the road, and you coming at it with that car, and he just raises his head up, chewing grass, and look at you because he ain't got enough sense to know, he about to kill you and himself or herself, whatever, whichever type it is. And so from that perspective, I want to keep the focal point to understand that, yes, this can include all mankind from a perspective of death. But it also exposes the mindset of the sons of men who are not led by Yah. Okay. Verse 18 says, "I said in my heart concerning the state of the sons of men, that Yah might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts." Okay. "For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Everyone... even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity." Verse 20 says, "All go into one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again." Okay, and we dealt with some things in Genesis chapter 2 in order to prove that. We dealt with Genesis 2 verse 7. I'm not going to go there for the sake of the time, but there are some other passages that I will use in reference to this this subject about death. Okay, so we'll move to Daniel chapter 2, and we'll just continue on from there with this lesson. Okay, Daniel chapter 12. Now, as we look at Daniel chapter 12, we'll read it here, and then we'll get an understanding of some things in reference to Daniel chapter 12. Now, as you read Daniel chapter 12, how do I want to say the thought though first? Let me see. Anyway, I don't want to go to Daniel chapter 12 at this point. We'll go to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to eventually find our way to Daniel chapter 12. I'm just not ready to deal with that right now. Okay, Daniel chapter 9, see which verse we'll start on. This is when our Savior was dealing with some things in reference to death, and we'll just move through that. Let me just see what verse we'll start on. Matthew chapter 9. I might have said that again. We're in Matthew chapter 9. We'll start at verse 23. But you won't understand what's going on in verse 23. Okay, let's go back up just so that you can understand what's going on. I just need to find it here. Let me do a cross reference here, so I want you to understand what's going on. I know where I want to start, but I don't want to start there. I may have to do it just for the sake of the time. Okay, Matthew chapter 9, and like I said, if we need to, we will, but I don't think we are. Matthew 9, chapter 23, that was for me, y'all. I'm just talking to myself right now. Matthew 9, verse 23 says, and when Yehoshua came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. Okay, then it says, and he said unto them, give place. For the maid is not dead, and that's what I was wanting to do, was to show y'all what led to him coming into this house, and he's seeing this going on. But I'll just read it just for the sake of time, because we are talking about death. Okay, verse 23 again says, when Yehoshua came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, and if you want to know what minstrels are, it means flute player, okay? So when he saw the the minstrels and the people making any noise, he said unto them, give place for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, as we pointed out, as you recall in lessons that we dealt with, I believe we was in Luke chapter 16, where we talked about the Lazarus and the rich man, that when the rich man died in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torment. Lazarus, when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or he was near Abraham in what we understand as being paradise. And so, in a nutshell, we're pointing out that when a person dies, that they no longer they're not in a state where they no longer exist as far as consciousness and different things like this. And so when you look at verse 23 and 24, specifically 24, you will see the difference in the communication here, and we'll flow along the lines of this word sleep so that we'll understand really what Christ is meaning, okay? And so we'll define some words in verse 24 just to get a handle on it, okay? Now, read verse 23 again, as I said that. And when Yehoshua came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. And he said unto them, give place, you know, for the maid is not dead. Okay, stop this. So, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, when we look at these words as far as dead is concerned, he says the maid is not dead. And so when you look at dead, it means to die off, be dead, death, die, be slain. So it's saying, so he's saying the maid is not dead, but he said she sleepeth now. Okay, to lay down at rest, to fall asleep. Okay, to fall asleep. Now, when you look at a person, say, okay, wait a minute, she's dead or is she asleep? Well, we're going to use other scriptures to confirm what Christ is meaning here. Okay, so we understand dead. So Christ is saying, okay, she's not dead, but she's sleeping. Now, notice from what he says and their response. Now, it says, for the maid is not dead but sleeping. Then it says, and they laugh him to scorn. Now, why would they do that? If they didn't know that she was dead. Okay? So Christ says she's not dead, but she's asleep. He sleep. Okay? And then the scripture immediately said, and they laughed him to scorn. We need to understand, why would they laugh him to scorn, and why would Christ say she's not dead, but she's sleeping? Okay? We need to understand that. We'll let the scriptures explain it. Okay? Now, verse 25 says, but when the people were put forth, put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Y'all saying this? Then it says, and the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. Okay? Now, again, we need to understand, what is the difference between dead and sleep? Okay, what is the difference between dead and sleep? Now, we're going to have to move around a few scriptures in order to understand this. I'm going to keep this Bible up, and I'm going to open up another one. Okay? And we're going to look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, John chapter 11, verse 1, says, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus. Now, this is not the same Lazarus that was the poor man who died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. This is not the same one. So now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary was anointed. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Yahushua heard that, verse 4, he said, the sickness is not unto death. Now let's look at what death is here. The sickness is not unto death, verse 4. When you look at verse 4, it means death. Literal. Okay, we'll look at some associations to it. It means be dead, die. Okay, he says in a nutshell, this sickness is not unto death. Now, let's continue on here. In verse 3, he says, I mean 4, it says, when Yahushua heard that he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of Yah, that the son of Yah might be glorified thereby. Now, Yahushua loved Martha, verse 5, and her sister, and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples said unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Yahushua answered, verse 9, are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. If any man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Same thing. When you look at verse 24 of Matthew chapter 9, he said unto them, give place, for that maid is not dead, but sleepeth. He says verse 11 of John 11 to the left on the screen. Again, it says, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. Now, we look at the same word sleepeth here. It means to put to sleep, to slumber. It also says to decease. Okay, to decease. Fall on sleep, be dead. So he says, Lazarus sleepeth. Okay, now let's look at to the right of the screen here, and we see the word sleepeth, which says again to lay down to rest. We're gonna compare it to the right of the screen. It says to put to sleep, okay, to slumber, to defeat. You're seeing it here again to the right of the screen. It says, I want to make sure it's from the 2549. Okay. So you're seeing the comparisons in the word here, and we'll continue on, and we'll get understanding here. He says, these things said he, and after that, he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Okay? When we look at the word sleep here, it means out of his sleep. It means awaken, awake out of sleep. Okay? It also shows a connection to 1853, which means awake, and then again it says out of sleep. So we just want to make sure that we are on the same page as far as these definitions are concerned. Then his disciples said, verse 12, then said his disciples, Lord, If he sleep, he shall do well. Okay? If he sleep, now look at it here. It says, if he sleep now, to put to sleep, okay, to slumber. So they're saying it from the same meaning as here, as when Christ said Lazarus sleepeth. Okay? So they're saying now, okay, if he sleep, then he shall do well. Well is preserved. Be made whole. To save, to deliver, okay? And so as we continue on with the verse, we see the difference now. Verse 13 says, how be it, Yehoshua spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. So when you get over here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 24, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn because they're knowing, they're seeing it as something in the same thought that the disciples had in John chapter 11. Oh, this man sitting here saying this bird sleepeth. And the disciples, when they heard him say that Lazarus is asleep, they said, okay, then he going to be all right because he's just resting. So in Matthew 9, you have it to where they laughed him in the storm because he said he's asleep. And then over here, the disciples are saying, okay, everything's going to be fine because he's asleep. But when you look at the verse, it points out, verse 14, it points out what's going on as we read verse 13 and 14 again in John 11. Howbeit, Yehoshua spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then, verse 14, then said Yehoshua unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Lazarus is dead. Then verse 15 it said, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto it. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad that he's dead. There's some things that's gonna take place whereby the Father may be glorified in the Son. You look at the same thing that's taking place in Matthew 9, verse 24. So when you see the people put out in Matthew 9, verse 25, but when the people were put out, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Because we're seeing the same thing that's getting ready to happen to Lazarus. So when we as the saints now, here, make sure you're muting your phone. We as a saint now, when we hear death, we look at it from a different perspective than the behemoth or the beast that we looked at in Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
So that does that mean that this sleep then is a reference to somebody who dies in Christ or in Yah?
That's exactly what it is. Those who die in Yah are asleep. That's why he was referring it from that standpoint. You had anything else you want to keep on? I didn't want to keep going if you wasn't finished. Were you finished, Elder?
No, well, so yes and no. So the scripture that keep coming to me is 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 where it says, behold, we shall not all, I'll show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep.
Yeah,
so, okay.
We're going to go there now. Go ahead.
So just from that perspective, it just made me think that sleep is referring to anybody that dies in Christ, even, you know, based on what we've dealt with up until this point.
Exactly.
But no, I didn't have anything else.
Okay, and so that's how we know the difference. That's why when you look at Ecclesiastes is pointing out from a perspective of men, but it's also bringing us into a revelation that what happens. In other words, the difference between someone who dies in Christ and someone who dies who dies not accepting Christ, or who you know, someone who died, someone died who dies not in Yah. It shows a difference. That's why we use the example in Luke 16 as far as Lazarus. Both men died. In other words, both men fell asleep, so to speak. But there's one that has a different perspective. I'm not even going to associate the rich man with sleep. I'll say both men died. But one of them was classified as sleeping, while the other one was classified as dead and buried. Although both of them lived in eternity after death. Remember the rich man? He's in torment. You remember Lazarus now? He's confident. So when you have someone who believes in the Messiah, that he is the Son of Yah, and have accepted the redemptive work of Christ, that he became the high priest and the sacrifice, when you understand it based upon the law and receive that and accept it, then now those who believe in that Christ and what Yah sent him to do from those perspectives, to be the sacrifice and to be the high priest, to be the high priest, once these things are from that perspective, then it's important for us to understand that those in Christ, they are asleep. Those who are not in Christ are dead. But yet both live eternally. Okay? And this is what it's pointing out. So he's saying, no, Lazarus was a follower of Christ. So he said, Lazarus is sleeping. But in order for them to understand what was really taking place, he came out and said, okay, Lazarus is dead. I'm going to speak a language about what you understand. Lazarus is dead, but I understand it from a perspective of kingdom that he's only asleep. Okay? And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 15 with Elder mentioned. We're also going to look at those that are alive and remain will be caught up in there, because it points out those who sleep in Christ, like what we're pointing out. Matter of fact, let's just go there now. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit. Here, I'll pull up another scripture. I believe it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think it's chapter 4. Let me make sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, since Elder mentioned that, I want to stay within the vein of what he said so that it'll flow, and when we get to 1 Corinthians 15, it will be clear. So since he mentioned those that are asleep in reference to those in Christ, we're going to confirm this with the scriptures now. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Like Lazarus here, like the maid here, Lazarus here in John 11, verse 11, the maid here in Matthew 9, verse 24, she's not dead, but sleeping. Now he says here, In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, but I will not have you ignorant. I'm going to teach you something so that you don't be ignorant. Ignorant is not a bad word. It just means you don't understand. So let's look at the word ignorant. It means that he said, I would that you be in a position that I don't want you to not know. I don't want you not to know. To lack through lack of information or intelligence. I don't want you not to understand. I don't want this fact to be unknown to us about death as the saints of Yah. That's what he's saying here. So that's how he starts out. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them. Them. Who are them? We'll find out who they are. Concerning them which are asleep. Let's look at the word asleep now. The word asleep is the same definition, to put to sleep, to slumber. You look at it in the middle of the screen, Same thing. To put to sleep, Lazarus is put to sleep, slumber. Same meaning. Okay? Now, as we go back to verse 13, left off the screen, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant, to not understand, to not know, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. This is dead. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Who are the others that have no hope? Those who are not in Christ. Those who are not in Christ, we sorrow based upon not understanding the facts about death. Those who have no hope in Christ, they sorrow when we lose. So people ask me a lot of times, they be like, how did you do, God bless my sister here, she lost her son, my nephew. So people ask me, how did you preach that? How did you preach your sister's funeral? How did you preach your two sisters' funeral? How did you preach your nephew's funeral? You know, under those circumstances. How did you preach your own mom's funeral? Because I understand who about sleep. That's how I do it. So when people say, you got to be strong to do it. No, I just have an understanding. It's not that I'm just this awesome dude that can handle it. That was tough on the physical body, but I was able to do it because I understand what I'm teaching you now. I understand what sleeping is about. I understood they were physically dead as far as the body is concerned. Remember, we return to the dust. We come from dust. We're going back to dust. Genesis 2. So I know from a perspective of death that the physical body is gone. But I understand the perspective as far as sleep is concerned. Okay? So he says, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not. In other words, if you don't understand this, you sorrow. Okay? Now let's look at the word sorrow. Okay? When you look at the word sorrow, it means to distress, to be sad, cause grief, be in heavy sorrow, sorry. All these words are associated with those who have no hope. Okay? All of us who have hope, we don't operate that way. That's how I'm able to do it. Okay? Then verse 14 says, for if we believe, what did Elder say? He said, are all these that sleep in reference to what Christ is talking about in John 11 and Matthew 9, are all these in reference to those who believe in Christ? We're going to let the scripture confirm his question, although we answered it. Verse 14, for if we believe that Yehoshua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, in Yehoshua, in that belief in Yehoshua, will Yah bring with him. Wait a minute, how is he going to bring them that sleep with him? What are those who sleep with him? What are those who sleep in Jesus? In other words, those who believe in Christ and die, where are they now? You know, when we dealt with the scriptures where we pointed out that when Christ rose again, because he had to be the first begotten of many brethren, when he arose and walked the street for 40 days, the scripture said that the saints arose and walked the streets and went into the city. So when they went into the city, the scripture says after death there is a judgment. After death there is a judgment. And so when Christ arose and then ascended, then guess what? All those who were in Christ, all the old patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all these people now, they are now with Christ in God, because Christ is sitting on the right hand side of the Father now. So it's pointing out in verse 14 that when Christ returns, when he returns in the future, those who are asleep in him will return with it. So our loved ones who are now asleep, they're in heaven, although we believe in Christ. Now, they're going to return because there has to be a resurrection that takes place. That's the first resurrection. You don't want to be a part of that second resurrection. You want to be a part of the first one. Because the second resurrection means that you want a part of the team that believes in Jesus or Yahushua. Okay? Verse 14 now, left of the screen, 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Yahushua died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yahushua will Yah bring with him. For this we say unto you, verse 15, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, we which are still living when Christ returns, live and remain until the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. We're not going to go before those who are asleep. This is why. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of Yah, and the dead, those who sleep, and the dead in Christ. It's the same thing. Sleep in Jesus. Dead in Christ. Okay? Shall rise first. What are dead going to rise? Wait a minute. Are they alive eternally in heaven? Yeah, but the scripture says that there is a resurrection of the physical body that's going to take place. So the physical body is in that grave decaying like the scripture said, turning into dust like the scripture said. But when Christ returns and those deceased saints or saints that sleep will unite with their physical body and will rise first. Like the same way they united with their physical body and rose when Christ rose. That's how they came about in them graves. Okay? Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of Yah, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, being we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with them. Now, this is what people start talking about, the rapture, and that we're going to be, you know, caught up and taken back to heaven. No, he's sitting in the kingdom up here. When he come back, he's coming back. I'm like, man, just think about it. Why would he come get you for 7 years? Or 3.5, you know. And it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is the sleeping. So when you look at John 11 in the middle of the screen, verse 11 is talking about this death, this sleep, that all those who are in Christ, all those who believe in Christ, as you see here, that dead in Christ, to the left of the screen, okay, which are asleep in Christ, even so them which sleep in Yahushua. Okay, we sleep in Yahushua. Then it points out again that the dead in Christ. So it's letting us know there's a difference. You got sleep here and then you have dead in Christ. It's in Christ. So all us who are in Christ who died, as far as the physical body is concerned, then the scripture is saying they're sleeping. Okay? They're sleeping. They're at rest because they're going to be resurrected again during the first resurrection, right? And so we're seeing these connections of scripture, and then verse 14, we'll go back to the middle of the screen here. Verse 14, you have something?
Question, so does that sleep just mean, you know, in a nutshell, is that, you know, it's kind of like you are asleep from this perspective, that you're going to basically be resurrected unto life again. And so from that perspective, it's kind of like when you go to sleep, you know, you resurrect back to life the next day kind of deal. So does this sleep refer to that in that, you know, the dead in Christ will be the first to rise. So anybody that dies from now until that point, it's kind of like you sleep because you know at that point everybody's gonna wake up kind of deal. So that's why it's called sleep, I guess?
Now, you said from a perspective of I hear what you're saying, but I just want to make sure I'm understanding what you're saying. So you're saying in a nutshell that sleeping is referring to everyone who's in Christ and will
right.
resurrect at his return?
Yes.
Is that what you're asking?
Yeah,
exactly.
So
go ahead.
So because, you know, it's just like sleep in that, you know, you go to sleep at night and you're no longer conscious to this world per se. And then the next day you wake up kind of deal. So it's kind of like for those that die in Christ, for them it's like sleep because at the point of Christ's return, they'll wake up and, you know, be woke and conscious just like we are.
So I see what you're saying. You're using that like as a metaphor. So yeah, you're correct from a perspective of it is like we're laying down. So I said from this perspective, all of us who die in Christ, it is like laying down the physical body because we never die eternally. Okay, the spirit of the individual. Remember the story of the rich man. Once he died, he's carried, not the physical body, but he's carried from a perspective of his spirit. Remember, we have the we're spirit, soul, and body, so to speak. So that physical body is the portion that sleeps. But like Elvis said, it's like taking a nap, knowing that you're gonna wake up the next day. Well, all of us who sleep in Christ, we know that physical body is going to go on the ground and decay, but yet one day it is going to wake up. We do got a day of awakening as the saints of Yah. Okay, so it is that physical body that dies. I just want to make sure we understand that the physical body is what goes in the grave. We are eternal beings. Okay, yes.
So you're saying like right now they're sleeping?
The physical body sleeps. See, let me show you some. Let me just show you some other things so that you can understand. We'll move to Revelation. I think it's 7.
While you're looking, I just kind of have a comment. It's kind of like, I guess the difference is, like, let's say, and I'm not trying to confuse the issue, but let's say you go to bed. If you go to bed and you know you're going to wake up, that's sleep. But if you go to bed and you ain't never waking up, then that's you dead, right? And so I guess from the perspective of those that die in Christ, you know, they're going to wake back up. But those that don't die in Christ, you know, they'll never be conscious back to this world kind of deal. They dead until the day of judgment. And then they still dead.
Revelations chapter 6. We look at verse 9. Revelation 6, verse 9, to try to help or to help with the understanding of the difference between sleep and dead. I don't want you to. When you hear sleep, when you hear sleep as a child of Yah, always understand that to mean the physical body. Okay? Revelation 6, verse 9 says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain dead. But yet their souls are somewhere else. They're under the altar to let you know that they exist eternally, although their physical body is dead." So when you hear the word sleep, Lazarus was asleep, his physical body. The maid was asleep. Physical body, because we are eternal, heaven or hell. Lazarus and the rich man, we are eternal beings. One dies and in hell he lifts up his eyes. Well, these who are in Christ in verse 9, Revelation 6, verse 9, their souls or under the altar is the metaphor. So when you look at it, it says under the altar the souls of them that were slain, they were murdered for the word of God, word of Yah, so they're in Christ. And for the testimony which they held, and they cried, how do you cry if you sleep? Because it's letting you know the physical body is sleeping. They are slain, but yet they're in heaven. Okay? And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Where are they? That's heaven. But the one who killed them, this is during the tribulation, the one who killed them, the beast that killed them, they're saying, when are you going to avenge our death? They're slain, but yet they are eternal. Look what the scripture goes on and says, verse 11, and white robes were given unto everyone of the dead. Physical body sleeping. We are eternal. You got to hear it. So when we say sleep, when Elder says sleep, it is like that body. Every one of our loved ones who are in Christ and have died, they are sleeping right now. Physical body. But they are alive and well, either. So I have to say it from a perspective of balance. They are alive and well of all concerning all those who believe in Christ, and all those who are like the rich man, they're in hell, eternal. So you have the saints here who are shown from a perspective of being given white robes. Okay, they're given white robes because the tribulation is not over with yet. So they're saying, how long we gotta wait for this? Where our death is avenged. Verse 11 saying, white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest. That they should rest yet for a little season unto their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. These people are dead, but yet they're speaking. Because there's a difference between the physical body that sleepeth and the real you. The only thing that's holding you down, each one of us down from eternal consciousness, is this physical body. It has to decay and go back to the ground. Thus thou art, thus thou shalt return. Until Christ returns, then there is a transformation that takes place. Because now, the way that the dead in Christ are raised, we who are alive and remain, our body has to go into eternal too. So that physical body has to transform. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be like him. Christ will walk through walls. Okay? And so I want you to understand the difference between the two. So when we're saying sleep, we're not talking about once you die, you just laying there in a state where you're not aware of anything. We're talking about the physical body does that. Lazarus' body was dead or asleep. The maid body was asleep. The rich man body was dead. But you can classify it as a form of sleep, but he was dead because he separated from Christ. Lazarus was asleep. Both Lazarus were asleep. The maid was asleep. These saints in Revelation chapter 6 are asleep. They are the ones, when you look at 1 Corinthians 4, those who are alive and remain. They are the ones who are coming back with the Messiah. They got white robes right now. Okay, I'm just giving you examples so that you can see. So I'll put it from this perspective to make it plain. Your last breath here is your first breath somewhere else, hell or heaven. And that determines what you believe. We don't believe in Christ, last breath here, first breath in hell. We are in Christ, as 1 Thessalonians 4 says, last breath here, first breath there. With these saints that we see here. They're at the altar in heaven. There's a heavenly tabernacle these saints are there. Even when you look at, although it's speaking from a future metaphor, because you look at Revelation 6 during the tribulation that hadn't manifested yet, but it's just to show you that when they're slain in Christ for the word of Yah and the testimony which they held in verse 9, they no longer seek to exist as far as the sleep by which we understand. So when the elder meant to sleep, he's giving you a metaphor to understand how things work for those who are in Christ. We're not classified as dead like the ungodly. We're classified as sleep. Although we both are like the beast, physical dead. Okay? It's a physical death of the body. So I wanted to make sure that we understand that we got that. We understand that. Okay.
So
I have a
question.
Go ahead.
So based on all of this, then, are these accounts that we come across something that Yah, because it's almost like Christ knew Lazarus was dead.
Uh-huh.
He already knew that, right? And he already knew what, you can tell by what he was saying, he knew what would happen, what's going to happen too. So are
Correct.
These accounts happening for us to understand this principle? Basically, in a nutshell.
Now, what accounts are you talking about, Elder?
So the accounts of you know, Yah letting Lazarus die, and Christ saying,
You're correct. Go ahead and finish. But correct.
And Christ saying, in a nutshell, I'm glad I wasn't there, you know, for your understanding, kind of deal, right? So it's just like these things happen so that we can understand how this all works.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and just to confirm this here, this is why these things are shown in Scripture. Look at John 11, verse 4. It says, when Yehoshua heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of Yah, that the Son of Yah might be glorified thereby. These events that we're reading about is to educate us on how this actually works. That's why he's having us to discuss it now. That's why when you look at, as we dealt with First Thessalonians, we're just going over the same scriptures that we just looked at previously, just to confirm or to bring it home. That's why he says now in verse 13, but I would not have, First Thessalonians 4, verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep. He's teaching us these principles and to show us a consistency that death for a child of Yah is like sleeping. It's like what Elder said. It's like when they die, we might as well just look at it and say, yep, they're going to wake up, Bethel. They're going to wake up someday. And it's like tomorrow. It may not be tomorrow like we do when we lay down and wake up the next day, but it's a metaphor to give us that understanding. We know that when a child of Yah sleeps or when a child of Yah physically dies, we know they're going to get up. We know they're going to wake up. We don't know which day, because we don't know the day or the hour that our Lord comes, but we know they're going to wake up. That's why we don't stress about it. They're asleep. It is the metaphor that Ellie used that said it is just like laying down, and we know that everybody's going and getting into bed tonight. Y'all, blessing be upon them to see another day. Everybody that we know going to get into bed tonight, we know we will see them tomorrow. Well, same mindset should be that way about those who sleep in Christ. We know they're getting up. So we don't have to sorrow. Okay? And Yah said, I teach you these things. He's having us to discuss these things so that we can be encouraged, as he says to us in the last verse. He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these things. Okay.
So I just have a question, I guess, along those lines. Is this preparation for the days that are ahead? I'm not trying to be morbid or anything, but if we know that times are going to get tougher and, you know, we know certain things based on what we've dealt with in Scripture, then I guess this understanding, I guess, is the comfort I guess, for, you know, for people that we know are going to get martyred in the days that are ahead, or, you know, going to be killed for the testimony of Christ, right? Because those scriptures, though, that what we were looking at in Revelation, those souls under the altar, well, all of those haven't happened yet. So we know that some of our brethren, that's going to happen to them. And so I guess this is the comfort in knowing these things ahead of time, that when that happens, it's for those that die for the testimony of Yah, then it's just like they sleep kind of deal.
Exactly. And from you reiterating that, it's exactly what needs to be done, because it is important for us to understand, even as I said concerning Revelation chapter 6, these souls are under the altar. This is during the tribulation. This is future. And so it is the same thing that I tell my family. I'll be like, look, when this day comes, do not sell out. What I mean by sell out, I'll be like, don't deny Christ. Let them, if they talking about they're going to kill you, well, the scripture already pointed out that some of us are going to die. Some of us who stand on the word, some of us who, I'm going to die. I know how I'm going to die. But what I'm saying to all of us tonight, and what Elder's reiterating on, is to make sure that we all understand when that day comes, do not fear, because there is an awakening. All they're doing is putting us to sleep. And if they put us to sleep during the tribulation period, we are the ones who are going to be the souls under the altar, so we are not going to be non-existent. You got a robe coming, baby, just to make it plain. So now you understand the way that I talk, that I do. That's why I be like, I ain't scared of no Illuminati, no government, no this and no that, because I'm not afraid of them that can do something to the physical body. I'm concerned about the one who can destroy both body and soul. Because all they can do is put me to sleep. But there's one who can put me to death. And he's the one I don't want to deal with. So I'm going to make sure I'm following. You do the same. Okay? So that is, as Elder says, as I have Revelation 6 on the screen again, as it says it here, it says, and Revelation 6, verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. There are people who are going to die for the word of God. There are people who have to die for what we're talking about in the future. But you understand, this is why we're teaching this. You understand that each one of us that are killed, slain, we just going to be sleeping, babe. Just going to be sleep, that's all. We got awakening coming. And it's going to be the first one. Everybody's going to be awakened in the second resurrection, but those who are in Christ are going to be raised up in the first one. That's the one you want to make. Second resurrection is all the wicked. Judgment time then. Which brings me to this scripture, and I'll stop right here, and we'll pick up again on next week. Now, we'll go to Daniel chapter 2 to point out this, Daniel chapter 12 to point out this fact. And then we'll again pick up with this on next week. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, it says, Daniel 12, verse 1 says, and at that time shall Michael stand up. This is when we're coming off of Daniel chapter 11. You remember we dealt with that for a long period of time. When the beast rise and he start to persecute our nation as well as the world, it points out what's going to take place afterwards. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Michael is our prince. Michael, the angel, is the prince of the nation of Israel. He's the great prince of the nation of Israel. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, was standing for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Even to that time, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that shall be found written in the book of life. Then you know there are Israelites who are not going to enter into the first resurrection. So you get our brother that's saying, all Israel is going to be saved. The remnant of Israel is going to be saved. Or those who are alive and remain are going to be saved. But those who are found in the book of life, they're going to be delivered. Look at verse 2 now. And many of them that sleep, same thing now. You look at the word sleep. And many of them that slept. Okay? Many of them that sleep, look at it now. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth, that you know what is sleeping. Thus thou shalt return. We'll look at the scripture. We'll show you what is actually doing the sleep. Genesis 2, I believe it's 2 and 7. Genesis 2, verse 7 says, And Yah God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The living soul is based upon the breath of Yah. Unto then, that body was just a body. It didn't have life in it. That body, when Yah formed man of the dust, that man was dead. He was asleep until Yah breathed life in it. Okay? Now, so as we look at this, verse 2 said, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Lazarus awake. The maid awake. Both Lazarus awake. Those who are sleep in the dust. But look at what it says, because it's showing you the overall totality of this thing. Some to everlasting life, the first resurrection. And some to shame and everlasting contempt, the second resurrection. It lets you know that the first resurrection is when Christ comes, returns to this earth. All those who are alive and remain have died yet. And those who are asleep in him will arise. That's the first one. They're in the dust of the ground, the physical body. When Christ returns, those who will come with him, there will be a resurrection of the body. Then it gives you the overall view to give us an understanding of the second resurrection. Those who are, I'll show you the second resurrection, and then we'll close, okay? Just to show you, there are two of them. And it's talking about both of them in Daniel chapter 12. Okay, now, Revelation 20, verse 5. I'll go to verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4, saying, I saw thrones, and they that, Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. What did Revelation 6 say? How long? The souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yahushua and for the word of Yah. That's the testimony they held. And which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received the mark upon their forehead, are in their hands, and they lived, beheaded. They were dead, but yet they lived. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead, the wicked, the unrighteous, the rich man and those who don't follow Christ, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. They're going to resurrect, but not the first one, because the scripture points out that those in verse 4 are a part of the first resurrection. There's two. There's the first resurrection, the resurrection of the saints. those who are dead in sin, or those who have died not believing in Christ and Yah, they will not live again until 1,000 years is finished. Look what takes place. It says, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death, because this is the second. There's a second resurrection and a second death. Those who are in Christ, they die once. Those who are not in Christ are going to die twice. We all go to the ground. Those in Christ rise in the first resurrection. Those who are not in Christ come to the second resurrection, then they die again. This is eternal separation from Yah. Not physically now. Eternal separation from Yah. That's why it says the second death. The second death is eternal separation from Yah. Okay? Such the second death has no power. See, once we are in Christ and the physical body dies, the resurrection takes place, we're never going to die again. We live eternity. In eternity. Now, as we look at it here, it goes on and explains the second one now. After the devil is cast in the lake of fire, verse 10, then verse 11, it said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before Yah. This is everybody now. Those who are in Christ, and now you have the second resurrection, those who are now resurrected to be judged. Because remember, they didn't live again until after 1,000 years. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books, according to their works. What did we say? The sons of men are like behemoths. When they die, their spirit goes upward, but the behemoth, his goes downward. This is how they're going to be judged. Remember when I pointed out how when all of us die and then there's a judgment, there's no other chance once we die? Because it's like all that information is going to be stored, so to speak, and the books are going to be open to explain all the stuff. Just go on, it's recorded. We're judged. Okay? And the dead were judged, verse 12, out of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell. Notice this is after 1,000 years. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in it. Why would death and hell have the dead which were in them? And they were judged, every man according to his work. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast unto the lake of fire. Oh, that's the second death. Those now who are in Christ will not experience the second death. See, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. So we can be confident and comfort one another in death because we know all we're doing is sleeping, awaiting this first resurrection. Once that takes place, that's why the scripture said, oh death, where is thy sting? Once we're resurrected, death has no part in our lives from that point on. We've been resurrected. The body now has been raised from the dead, from the grave, from the dust. We live eternally. But those who are not in Christ, they're not going to resurrect on that day. They're waiting on the second resurrection so they can be judged to experience the second death. Complete separation from Yah. They're going to live eternity just like us. It's just that the scripture points out where they're going to live it. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, they are living there eternally. The same way we are living here eternity on earth as the righteous. After this particular day, there will not be any more wickedness on earth throughout eternity. Only righteousness. That's why it says the meek shall inherit the earth. Okay? Any questions or comments? I'm going to go ahead and close. You good? So, do you got anything else?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we just thank you for another opportunity to, again, just get in your word and get an understanding. We bless you for leading us, and we're encouraged because we understand that no matter what, all we're going to do is sleep. And we look forward to the day of your return, whether we are alive and remain or whether we are asleep in Christ. We just bless you for it all. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.